it's not about truly bees and butterflies and assets that generate that positive nature. It's about the transition towards nature positive and making sure that portfolios support that transition in line with what they call the mitigation hierarchy. So reduce impacts on nature, avoid impacts on nature, and in a credible way, measuring that transition and how companies are incorporating that in their business model.
Welcome to The Greener Way. I'm your host, Michelle Baltazar, Executive Director of Media at FS Sustainability. We are recording on Gadigal land and we pay our respects to the traditional custodians of country and elders past, present, and emerging. Today's episode is a discussion on how can the investment community make nature more tangible for investor portfolios. Sharing his insights on this is Lucien Pepelonbos, climate and biodiversity strategist at Robeco. Lucien is based in the Netherlands, but he is in our studio in Sydney for this podcast. Lucien, first of all, thank you for joining us and welcome to Sydney.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
First, tell us about Robeco and the work that you do.
Well, Robeco, we're an asset manager with a global presence, but headquartered in the Netherlands. We do about 200 billion in assets under management for clients around the world. And well, our tagline is we are the investment engineers. So everything we do is based on research. And within research, we have a very strong sustainability capabilities. So we do a lot of data science, a lot of research to incorporate sustainability issues into our investment strategies to get the best possible investment outcomes based on improved investment decision making. Because we believe that incorporating ESG into investments makes for better investment decisions.
Now, your job title, Climate and Biodiversity Strategist, talking about two very big humanity issues. I mean, surely is that because you've got a science background? What made you interested in entering the profession and being a specialist in this space?
Well, actually, my background is I'm an agricultural economist. Mm. And for decades, I've worked on sustainable commodity supply chains. Mm-hmm. And that work made me really aware of how much of our economy, our wealth and well-being is based on nature and planet Earth. Now, and based on that experience, I've specialized more and more on the climate side. But also nature, deforestation-related issues, for example. Well, actually, the beginning of my career, I really worked in the corporate sector. A bit later, there was also momentum on sustainability in the financial sector. Yeah. And that's when I joined the financial sector.
Fantastic. Well, it looks like you'll be able to answer my next question here. I mean, nature, it's always been intangible. In many ways, we take it for granted. We think there's like an infinite supply of resources. The question is, how do you measure and monitor nature risks and its impacts in portfolios?
Yes, that's a very good question, and that has kept us busy for a long, long while. So many investors are focused on climate change and incorporating that into investment portfolios. Obviously, being aware that climate is one aspect of nature, and there are many other aspects. Now, for climate change, we have a single indicator which gives a lot of guidance, and that's greenhouse gas emissions. For nature, however, there are much more aspects to take into account. A single company has impacts across water, land use, air emissions, beyond greenhouse gas emissions, many, many aspects to take into account. And that complexity is what we have been dealing with in the past years. Now, we believe, after several years of work, last year was really a breakthrough year in terms of the guidance that is available for investors to work with. There's the Task Force for Nature-Related Financial Disclosures. That's the sister of the TCFD for Climate Change. And the TNFD came out with very concrete guidance for different industries. What are the key impacts to focus on? And those we can measure and make tangible in investment portfolios. And that's where we developed our models.
For those who are unfamiliar with this new guidance, the TNFD, how could you describe the the metrics that you have to look at?
Well, you need to look at it sector by sector. So the TNFD gives sector guidance. For example, in the metals and mining sector, things to look at are water consumption, waste and recycling, land use change, the opening up of natural habitats and the level to which that is restored. Also, non-greenhouse gas air emissions. Tailing storage is a big one in metals and mining. Now, all of those aspects, they're defined in those guidance, and we can find the data points to measure how companies are impacting nature through those aspects and how well they are mitigating that.
And I think one of the reasons you're here in Australia is to talk about one of the latest developments at Robeco, which is your biodiversity traffic light. Tell us a bit more about that.
Well, so this traffic light is built on the TNFD guidance to measure sector by sector, identify the companies that are leading the transition towards a nature-positive economy. So we look for the companies that are best at mitigating the negative impacts that go along with economic activity in that sector. At this point in time, most economic activity has adverse impacts on nature, and we need to halt and reverse that nature loss. So we need to find the companies that are leading in mitigating those impacts. And that's what our biodiversity traffic light does. There's a complex, a lot of data goes into it on all those different aspects of nature. But ultimately, the signal from the model is very simple. It's a traffic light. It's green, amber, or red. So companies that are doing a good job are green. Companies doing a bad job are red. And the improvers are in between.
And I think if you've been a long-time investor, you understand what leaders and laggards mean, whether it's in technology or whether it's in any other sector. But now we're talking about how they manage biodiversity risk.
Yeah, so a leader in that context, for example, going back to the metals and mining example, would be a mining operator or a steel manufacturer that is really water efficient and has water recycling technologies, a company that whose waste efficiency is really high and has high levels of recycling, has tailing storage dams that are well organized with good risk management, also who are managing their assets and the exposure of assets to biodiversity areas in a proper way. And on the other hand, we can also, for leaders, we can also see good governance, good policies and targets in place. And taking that all together, that would define a leader in a sector like that.
And then what happens if you're a laggard? What happens if you're at the bottom quartile?
Well, that depends, of course, on the clients, on investment strategies, how you want to use that information. Some of our clients would like to minimize their exposure to laggards. So they look to tilt away from laggards. For other investors, they say, well, actually, everybody should get a chance to improve. And they choose to, for example, do engagement with such companies or through voting, try to influence those companies to become better.
So what's been the initial reaction from institutional investors? What do they like about this traffic light system? What are the surprising outcomes from it as well?
Well, it has been really positively received. We started our conversation how complex nature is, and investors have been looking for a long time how to go about it. Initially, investors were looking to say, allocate capital to nature, to make something nature positive. But the fact is that within the investment universe, there's only very, very few companies. Really, you can count them on one hand, companies that are truly nature positive. So allocating capital to nature is something, it is possible, but predominantly in private markets. Now, institutional investors, they have global diversified exposure to public markets, and they seek to integrate nature in those type of portfolios. And that's what this traffic light enables. It's not about truly bees and butterflies and assets that generate that positive nature. It's about the transition towards nature positive and making sure that portfolios support that transition in line with what they call the mitigation hierarchy. So reduce impacts on nature, avoid impacts on nature, and in a credible way, measuring that transition and how companies are incorporating that in their business model. And that's what institutional investors are looking for, because they need to comply with all sorts of performance expectations, risk management, and to have then only exposure to nature assets doesn't fit in those type of portfolios. So that's where the traffic light comes in.
And here in Australia, we talk a lot about legislation, policies, even influencing our view on the government. How do you see regulation playing into this traffic light system?
Well, I think regulation is really a strong driver for the materiality of nature. And investors can incorporate nature in their portfolios within financial parameters, but there's a limit to it, just like with climate change. Low carbon strategies can go a long way, but ultimately the real economy has to move hand in hand with that transition in investment portfolios. So we need policy, regulation to price the externalities that are currently in the economy, the environmental externalities, and that then makes nature more material. And this is where investment and policy should go hand in hand.
And a second last question for me. So what are the opportunities that are now available, now that we can measure it, now that you've got a framework for insto investors?
Well, the opportunity is to create globally well-diversified portfolios with exposure across all sectors, focusing on companies in those sectors that are leading the transition, and in that way, create a portfolio that supports the nature transition and at the same time delivers good performance.
For our listeners who want to know more about it, Robeco just published a white paper on this. It's called Measuring Nature in Investments, Unlocking Opportunities to Invest in the Transition. And I think it's a comprehensive paper on what you've done behind the scenes. I believe you've just launched an avoided emissions platform as well. So you're keeping yourself busy.
We're keeping ourselves busy, indeed. As you said, my work is climate and biodiversity, two rather big challenges. And once we've covered one topic, the next one already kicks in. Avoided emissions is a collaboration that we've done with other investors to create credible avoided emission measurement. And that supports investors in allocating capital to climate solutions, which we believe is a really important area of work.
Anything else you'd like to share with our listeners? What's coming up this year?
Well, soon we will be publishing the fifth edition of our global climate survey, where we survey 300 wholesale and institutional investors around the world. It's one of the most representative climate surveys out there in the investor community. As I said, for the fifth year in a row now. And the interesting aspect, of course, is that this survey has been taken shortly after President Trump assumed office. And yeah, the whole turbulence in the market that came as a result of that.
Yeah, so this will reflect the latest sentiment.
Exactly.
Well, once again, thank you, Lucian, for joining us. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay here in Australia.
Thank you very much.
This is The Greener Way. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Thanks for joining us.
The Greener Way podcast is a product of FS Sustainability. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional, legal, or tax advice. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement, and if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the FS Sustainability website, fssustainability.com.au.